It's time for the SLMA Radio Hour, brought to you by our worldwide membership of sales lead management experts. If it has to do with sales lead generation or sales lead management, it probably starts here with the SLMA Radio Hour. Tonight, as always, we're privileged to have with us the founder and executive director of the SLMA, the one, the only, the inimitable, the hatless tonight. He usually has a hat on. Jim Obermeyer.
Thank you very much, Paul.
No hat tonight here. What's missing here?
What's that?
No hat tonight here. I don't see you.
No hat tonight. It's hot in Southern California.
You've got some of the coolest hats. I like the Airborne Ranger beret or whatever you got there.
Yeah, I didn't bring the beret on tonight. I've got my field hat over there, but it doesn't fit anymore because my head's gotten too big.
Well, all this information you're gathering, I mean, my head gets big just listening to this show.
Well, we've got a nice, very nice interview this evening coming up.
With a cool guy here.
Very cool guy. And in fact, his latest bio is just printing out behind me, if you hear me printing it. You ever just change the print cartridge just for yourself?
Well, and I want you to say his name correctly, because I'll just give you a little weird, you know, this is like 6 degrees of separation. You're going to talk to Stu Hynek tonight. And I used to work, was partner when I had an entertainment PR firm up on Sunset a million years ago, with a guy named Stu Hynecke. They spell it the same way, but they pronounce it slightly different. And he used to say, well, yeah, you know, I not a common name, so we must be related. But he used to get Skip's calls, and Skip used to get his calls, because they were the only two Hyneks or Hynekes in the book here. And now, after 20 years, my partner moved to Thailand to take up business over there, and now he's in Ireland. I haven't seen him in 20 years. And Stu Hynek, a week ago, sent Skip my email and said, call Paul, and now we're going to get together after 20 years. It's like this whole weird connection. Because I know you and you know Stu, I now am going to hook up with my old partner, Skip Hynecke, from 20 years ago.
I have no idea what you just said.
I'm just telling you, it's a small world.
It is a small world. We've got Stu Hynek tonight from Cartoon Link, and you know, he's our resident humorist on the SLMA.
He does the coolest stuff. He draws things that I can only compare to, Esquire magazine and stuff. Or the New Yorker. They do this kind of, you know, really cool, subtle black and white cartoon drawings of business people. That's what I think of.
That's him.
Yeah.
We can ask him tonight when he comes on. He's been published in a lot of different places, and our subject tonight is how to break through to important people. And this is a tough subject because everybody wants to break through.
Isn't that the truth?
To a certain number of people. And, you know, if you just want to go to the IT managers in an average company, that's hard enough. If you want to go to the IT managers of the Fortune 1000, that may be interesting.
Yeah, good luck.
You want to go to the IT managers for the top 100, you might as well just kiss yourself goodbye, because you're going to have a heck of a time reaching those people.
Yeah. Well, there's so many barriers now. They've got not just secretaries, but they've got all these, you know, voicemail systems, et cetera, et cetera. There's a lot of layers to go through to get directly to somebody. And they're bombarded by information overload.
Well, he's got some interesting things, ways to do it. And we're going to have a little bit of time tonight, because I'd like to talk a little bit about his company, Cartoon Link, other than just our subject, but I want to get into the subject right away.
Okay.
First of all, that Stu is a prominent cartoonist whose work can be seen in marketing campaigns and in the pages of the Wall Street Journal and other publications. He's the president and founder of Cartoon Link, a service that helps marketers apply the powerful effects of cartoons in their campaigns. He's also the author of Drawing Attention, which is a great book to talk about humor. Hmm. He's one of the foremost experts on the use of cartoons in advertising, marketing, sales promotion. And he will be a contributing editor a lot for SLMA and in many other areas other than just the cartoon.
And what's the one thing that everybody is sure to forward? If you want to create a viral message, you can create cute videos, you can do other sorts of things, you hope you write great content in your blog and people take that, but what's the one thing we all pass around? cartoons.
Yeah, we've had some really interesting ones lately. Now, Stu, why don't you come on board and let's talk about this, how to break through to important people.
Well, hi, guys. You know, by the way, I knew exactly what Paul was talking about.
See?
You tiny people all stick together.
That was clear. Well, it's a small world. It really is.
It is a small world. I used to have my office in Beverly Hills.
Skip was on Sunset. Yeah, right off.
So he and I would get each other's phone calls. All the people would call me and ask for Skip Hynek, and I'm saying no. And you got the name wrong. It's Stu Hynek. And finally, Skip was getting the same thing happening, and we had no idea who each other was, and we finally decided let's connect because
this is too weird.
We might be related. Who knows? We still don't know.
Yeah.
Well, Skip, we've got probably about 1,000 people out there waiting to hear what you think about how to break through to important people. So why don't you go ahead, Skip? Tell us what.
Skip, you got the wrong one already.
I keep getting Skip's interviews, too.
Skip, yes.
Yeah, I wonder how long I can repeat that without you coming back at me. Tell me, how do you get through to important people?
Well, you know, it is challenging, and I think it has gotten more challenging. I got started with this a long time ago when I started my business, and my first two clients were Rolling Stone and Bon Appetit. I don't know how I got through to them, but somehow I did, and I realized, well, I have these two record-breaking campaigns for them. I want to expand out to the rest of the publishers, which is really no small feat. You can't get to these decision makers at Time Inc. and Forbes and Condé Nast and Harvard Business Review and so on. And so I thought, well, I've got to find some interesting way to break through. And I knew that I already had something very special with the personalized cartoons that we do. So I started experimenting with various formats. And before I knew it, I was reaching essentially anybody I wanted to reach. And in fact, I thought, well, how far can this go? And I started sending these things around to presidents, prime ministers, sometimes on my own, sometimes on behalf of clients, and celebrities and CEOs and lots of top decision makers, and I kept getting through. And I've also played over the years with a lot of different formats for what I call contact campaigns. So just what kind of campaign materials do I need to send? And I experimented with suitable for framing prints, then framed prints, and actually there's a lot of different formats, but the one that I've finally locked into is what I call big boards. They're these 18 by 24 inch foam core. Essentially, they're giant postcards with a cartoon on one side about the recipient, and on the other side, a message from the sender to the recipient saying, essentially, hey, why don't we meet? And they just work like magic. I once sent one. If you don't mind, I'll just tell a quick story.
Yeah, please do.
So I was working with the Wall Street Journal. They were a client, and we wanted to expand one of their subscription offers into points programs. So these large point programs, loyalty points programs. And so one of the first ones that I thought of was American Express and their member rewards program. And I thought, well, I can either call the switchboard and just get a headache from trying to break through to trying to figure out who it is that handles points programs and then get a hold of them, or I can go straight to the CEO, which is what I did. So I made up a big cartoon print, sent it along with a letter, waited a couple of days, and then I called up and I asked to be connected with his office. So I reached one of his assistants, and I've got to think I reached, I don't know, it could have been one of 10 assistants. He's a busy guy. So anyway, I made contact, and I said, hi, my name is Stu Hynek, and I sent Mr. Chenault, Ken Chenault, a letter. I wonder if he received it. And she's saying, are you kidding me? Do you know how many phone calls and letters this man gets in just a day? So, like, I'll tell you what, if he got it, and I knew she was going to say, and if he's interested, we'll call you. But I broke in, and I said, well, hang on a second. If you got my letter, you'll remember it, because I sent a big cartoon print about Mr. Chenault. Oh, you're the one who sent that, she said. Hang on a second. So about 30 seconds later, I had this top-down referral from the CEO of American Express to the person who handles points programs, and we got the deal done right away. So that's sort of been the way I've gotten my feet wet in in the use of contact, or what I call contact campaigns. I don't know what else to call them. But these campaigns that you use to break through to important people.
Well, so you're saying a contact campaign, which is identify a selected list of 5 or 10 or 15 or 100 people. You send some sort of humor, a cartoon to them, which you draw up, which follows your... We want to talk about that a little bit later, how hard it is to have humor in business. So you create a custom cartoon for them, and then you send these out. And then their salespeople, or whoever it is, follows up a week or so later. Is that the general gist of this?
Yeah, I mean, that's how we run our contact campaigns. But I'm in the midst of writing a book about contact campaigning, and it's been fascinating to focus out beyond just what I do with cartoons, but I love what I'm doing, and I think that it's very, very effective, and there's some great advantages to using cartoons or personalized cartoons over some of these other methods. But gosh, I've been coming across methods people have used that have cost the ranges from $0 to $10,000 per contact. That's like per person that they're reaching out to, and so those run the gamut of often people are, you know, other people who do this have been sending, let's say, one half of a pair of shoes. That's the left shoe, and then they're going to bring the letter with the shoe promises to bring the other shoe in when they meet, or they'll send all kinds of remote control toys, cars and planes and helicopters and so on, without the remote control device, and they promise to bring that in when they meet. The most interesting one, I think, actually, I mean, again, I love the cartoons, and they probably are, I know they're one of the most interesting versions of this, but the most interesting one I found, let's say outside of cartoons, is this one fellow who writes these open letters to CEOs. He used it to get through to, for example, Larry Ellison, the CEO of Oracle. And his client was the CEO of a company that wanted to be acquired by Oracle. So he writes this open letter from his client to Larry Ellison and produces it as a full-page ad that gets placed in the Wall Street Journal. So it costs $10,000 to do this. But, you know, Larry Ellison gets these phone calls all day long. And I'm sure he spotted it in the paper anyway. But then he gets these phone calls all day long from people he knows all over the world saying, hey, Larry, did you see this thing in the Wall Street Journal? So what a great way to keep pointing toward taking this guy's call. And so, you know, that in fact, often as a result of those kinds of open letters, these acquisitions actually do take place. And when we're using cartoons, when I'm using the personalized cartoon method, one of the things that's really terrific about it is that when we target that cartoon properly, that's really hard to do, as you alluded to just a moment ago, but when we target it properly, that CEO or whoever it is that we're targeting is going to treat this thing as a keepsake, actually not just a keepsake, but as an heirloom to their careers. So here's this big 18 by 24 inch piece. It's a cartoon. It's a cartoon print. Sometimes it's a cartoon. I mean, it's a print of a cartoon that's been in the Wall Street Journal. So that's, and it's about the recipient. So that adds even more value. And they end up keeping it in their office. They'll set it on the first of all, they're not going to file it away because it's too important. It's about them, and it says something that they agree with about themselves. So they're not going to file it away. On the other hand, there's no place really, no convenient place to put something like that away. 18 by 24 inches may not sound very large over the radio, but when you're holding something that big in your hands, it's like you're looking at a big screen TV. So it's pretty big. So they'll often will just stick it on their desk, over their desk somewhere, or on their credenza, something like that. It's usually cocked at an angle because there's no room for it. So it acts like a positive adjutant, and it's always drawing attention to itself. And when people walk into the office, I'm sure a lot of the visitors are saying, hey, where'd you get that? What is that? And so it's always this sort of constant reminder of you as the sender, just as you as the sender. And it leaves that door open once you've made that initial contact to call back again and again. So it's a pretty cool thing. I like the fact that the cartoons, you know, versus the shoes and the remote control toys and so forth, seems to stick around a very, very long time and become sort of a prized possession of the target.
Well, it's interesting that you mention that, because I've got something hanging in my wall here, and it's got the typical, what do they say, the most important words in the English language is our own name, usually to us. Yeah. So this little thing is hanging on my wall, and it's about 2 inches deep. It's 18 by 24. It's got two guys sitting at a desk. And on the wall, there's a framed drawing, and it's got a sales figure going upward, dramatically going upward. And the caption says, "You like it? I borrowed it from Jim Overmeer." Now, everybody who walks in my office looks at that and smiles.
Perfect.
And I wonder where I got that from. Thank you very much.
I'm really gratified to hear that, because it's the one that I sent to you.
Yeah.
And I just love hearing those stories. I'm not the inventor of cartoons by any stretch, but I'm just constantly amazed at what kind of power they have to break through the clutter, to melt ice. I think they're probably the ultimate engagement and involvement device, whether it's in these contact campaigns where we're sending these really, you know, super high value campaign materials to one person at a time, or whether it's in email or direct mail. And it's amazing what it does. It causes people to react to whatever it's on, whatever piece it's in, or whatever campaign it's part of, in a very, very different way. I mean, in mail, they'll take these mailings and they'll stick them up on their postcards. They'll stick them up on their refrigerator doors and keep them there for years, or on their office walls if they got it at their office. If these things are being received, let's say it's just a piece of mail, let's say it's a postcard, they get penetration that no other mail seems to get, because assistants and mailroom clerks and so forth, they don't throw away cartoons about their bosses. So it just, over and over and over again, there's just this magic to cartoons that kind of a spectator to, but I'm always amazed at what they do.
You know, you keep saying how wonderful it is and how great it is. Give me some examples of some of your clients. And I know you've had Sandler and other people that are clients in USPS and Salesforce apps and others. So give me a couple of examples that aren't too confidential, but what you mailed out and what kind of response you got.
Right. Well, if we come back to the contact campaigns mission for a moment, which is to reach important people, and I think it's my favorite form of campaigning, because it's just so bizarre. I came up in the world of direct response, and so when I compare direct response to contact campaigning, I'm always amazed just how bizarre it is, because you've got the sort of same metrics. You've got an audience, and that audience in direct mail could be hundreds, could be millions. In a contact campaign, it could be a campaign to just one person, or it might be five or ten. The cost per piece or cost per contact in direct response is pennies, usually, or, you know, let's say 10 or 20 cents. In contact campaigns, as I mentioned before, it could be anywhere from 0 to 10,000 per contact or per effort. That's pretty bizarre. But where it gets really bizarre is in the response rates. And you asked for a story, so let me give you one. We did a test. Actually, I reached out to the president of Sandler Training using one of my big boards. Got right through, and then suddenly we became best buddies. And in fact, Bruce Seidman wrote one of the forewords to my book to drawing attention. So that all came about because I sent him a contact piece. And we ended up talking every day and collaborating. Let's come up with a test and have one of their franchisees run this. Let's just see what we can make this do. So the franchisee came up with a list of actually just five Fortune 1000 companies, or CEOs, I should say, in this area. So really small list. We produced the big boards, had them delivered by courier, and then one by one, the CEOs started calling him back. And they said, "Well, I've got this big card in my lap. Now what do I do?" And he said, "Well, we meet." So, okay, they met. And two of them bought starter programs on the spot worth about $50,000. So what I've just described to you is a is a campaign that has accomplished things that we've always been taught, I was always taught, was impossible. For one, it produced 100% response rate. All five, even though it was just five, all five called him back, and in fact, all five of them agreed to meet. And then the ROI on this campaign, because he sold two starter programs, I don't know what the ROI ended up being eventually, but just from those first meetings, the ROI on that campaign was 8,000%. So, you know, in direct response, you expect to see maybe a 1% response rate or less. And you're lucky somebody's trying to get through on my line. We'll ignore him. But anyway, you're lucky to to get a 1% response rate, right? And in direct response, you're lucky to even break. If you can break even, you're doing really well. So an 8,000% ROI is just bizarre. Well, we have one client that may hit. We're still waiting for the outcome of this one phone call. And he may hit 40,000% ROI. So these numbers just get, I mean, what's a 40,000% ROI? It's just almost, you can't really even, it doesn't even make sense.
What it does tell us is that. When we've had some telemarketing outfits who set appointments here, and we've had a few that charge $500 or $600 or $700 or $800 for appointment with a CEO. Just because you've got the appointment obviously doesn't mean that you sold anything, but the big problem I found with those is they very often, company says, well, I want to get into the CEO of this company because I want to start high and then get referred down low. And I worked for a company one time, and they sent me in on about a bunch of these $750 appointments and a bunch of salespeople I had working for me. And we'd get in there with the CEO, and he'd say, what do you do? Oh, yeah, that's interesting. Well, let me see. Let me call the marketing manager. Hey, Paul, this guy is selling such and such. Do we need any of that? We're all covered, huh? We don't need it. Oh, okay. Thank you very much. Well, see, he doesn't really need it. Thank you very much for coming in. You know, so there's it all comes back to, you got to send things to the right person. Yeah, so the list has got to be right as well as that message. And so what kind of viewer did you use in the Sandler program? Do you mind telling us, or can you give some other sample that you might name?
Yeah, I'll tell you about that in a moment. But you know, you make a really, really important point. If you're going to send a pair of shoes or a remote control helicopter, you're creating a theme, but it may not be your theme. You know, I mean, you may not be selling shoes or helicopters or have anything to do with flying around. The great thing about, again, the great thing about cartoons is that if you think about it, cartoons cover any subject. A cartoon can be about anything. And when you think about the nature of humor, humor is about truth being revealed with a twist. As a result, when we're laughing at things, we'll often, you know, when we finish laughing, we say, huh, but it's true, it is like that, or I know someone like that, or I've been through something like that, or just, that's so true. So whatever that nugget is that the cartoon brings forth has to be carefully selected. We do carefully select it so that the message that's coming out of the cartoon is the one that we want to step off into the copy with, in the accompanying letter, which tells the CEO or whoever it is that we're reaching out to, this is why we're reaching out to you. This is the problem you have that we're going to solve. This is why you should meet with us. So by the time they've gone through that process and you're calling them, they know why you're calling. And you know, which is in stark contrast to your story just now about these prearranged appointments with high-ranking targets who forgot why you were coming in. That's a terrible thing. So
yeah,
you asked about
really,
the...
It's very costly, and we spent tens of thousands of dollars and got nothing to speak of for it. So we're going to come back in just a minute if I can get my partner to wake up over here. Hey, hey, you over there, Paul. Hey, Paul, it's time to... You know, like he's asleep on me. he's not snoozing. We're going to take a break now, and Paul is going to go ahead and run our commercials. And Paul, are you ready?
I'm listening to this. I'm absorbing this. I mean, this is amazing stuff that you can get through to just about anybody with something as simple as a cartoon.
Well, it's not that simple. I've given him, I must have given, you know, everybody thinks they're funny.
Yeah.
And the older we get, the funnier we think we are, especially with waitresses. And my wife kicks me under the table all the time.
But, all right.
you know, I must have given Stu here maybe 20 really good cartoon captions. And, you know, we've yet to see one of those show up on a cartoon.
Okay, all right.
We'll have to talk about that after the break.
I'll tell you an interesting thing, though, and this wasn't Stu, but I was thinking of this, years and years ago when I was partnered with the other guy, Skip, and we were doing entertainment PR, I got a thing from Time Magazine. And it was a guy, just like Stu draws here. And they got me confused if it's Stu or Skip. And it was a cartoon showing a guy sitting back by his pool, and he says basically, "Well, you're my press agent. How come Paul Roberts is in Time Magazine and I'm not?" And it was basically...
That was one of ours.
That was one of yours? Okay.
That was one of ours. It was actually for People Magazine.
People, there. Okay, there it was.
Yep.
And I still have that on my wall. That was from 30 years ago. Because there was a cartoon with my name in it. It was, I don't know how they somehow addressed them all differently, so everybody's name appeared in the cartoon. But they did, and they sent it to you, and it was to get you to subscribe to People Magazine. And I've still got that on my wall.
And you drew that.
That's wild.
A great story.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hey, guys, can we get to the commercials now? You guys are just the whole homely stuff.
It's a small world.
That was a commercial.
That was a commercial. All right. Well, we'll be back in just a minute after we hear a word from our sponsors.
Companies with complex sales channels have sophisticated lead management needs. They require customized lead management systems and services and integration with additional systems. That's why, since 1981, these companies have relied on SmartLead by AdTrack, the only full-service lead management company with customized systems for lead management, Salesforce automation, and analytics. These systems are managed by each client's dedicated account manager and are integrated with SmartLead's in-house marketing services that include a contact center, email marketing services, print services, direct mail and fulfillment, and an ISO-certified warehouse. SmartLead by AdTrack. 3 decades of pioneering lead management best practices and systems for complex lead management needs. For more information, visit our website at smartlead.com.
Well, we're talking about statistics, and here's one you've heard before, but it's worth repeating. 5 to 20% of every company's marketing budget is consumed with just two things: generating sales leads and answering those sales leads later. And yet only 10 to 25% of those precious leads that we spend so much time and energy to generate, only 10 to 25% of them ever get called or pursued by a company's sales channel. Shocked? Well, if you'd been to the SLMA's website, you wouldn't be, because you'd find hundreds of articles on similar topics and ideas and statistics covering both B2B and B2C, sales lead generation and sales lead management. In our most recent quarter, the SLMA had thousands of visitors and 51,000 pages viewed. So, if you're going to learn more about sales lead generation or sales lead management, where would you go but the SLMA's website? It's the SLMA.com, theslma.com. Go there today, right now, well, right after this interview, and get your free copy or free membership today, the SLMA.com. I'm so excited, I don't know what I'm saying here.
Well, we're talking to Stu Hynek this afternoon, CEO and president, founder of Cartoon Link.
This is cool stuff.
How to break through to important people. Now, he's given us some good ideas here, but the one thing that he's avoided as a good sales guy always avoids is, how much does all this stuff cost?
It's got to be astronomical. Got to be astronomical. Because where are we calling Stu? Stu lives like in Tahiti or something, doesn't he?
Tens of thousands of dollars.
No, it's just Seattle.
What do you think, Stu?
Well, how much does it cost? Well, I'm going to talk in generalities first.
They always talk in generalities, don't they?
I'm here to help and educate, so not to sell just my stuff, for example. You can spend anywhere from 0 to, as I mentioned, $10,000 per contact. Zero could be just someone. One of the great techniques that I've heard people use is just having someone call as their executive assistant, and they call the CEO's executive assistant, and they act like an executive assistants do, and they set up an appointment between their bosses. Sometimes that works, and sometimes you get what you paid for it. And so, but mine, my program is, mine's a membership program. So we want you to be a member for at least 6 months in our program. And during those 6 months, every month, we're going to launch 10 contact campaigns. So you're going to be reaching out to 10 top, well, let's say at least top one, 10 of the people that are on your top 100 list. But people who can really change the fortunes of your business, that's who you ought to be reaching out to. And I'll tell you a couple of people that I've reached out to recently, Jim, because I think they'll surprise you. Well, maybe they won't surprise you. Maybe they will. I don't know. But you're going to be doing that. You're going to be doing 10 of those a month, and we charge $2,500 a month for that membership. Now, some marketers will say, gee, that's not very much. And I think maybe more will say, oh, my God, that's a lot of money to spend on 10 pieces. What is that, $250 a piece? And so very quickly they've got it worked out that there's no value here. But what you have to be able to do is suspend disbelief a little bit, because this is just, as I said before, this is a campaign that works on bizarre numbers. But the best ones are the ones in the back end, which are response rates that can go as high as 100%. Those are rare. We used to be told they were impossible. So we've seen them happen a few times. Certainly, we seem to be getting through about 80 to 95% of the time. It depends on the kinds of clients, on what they're offering, and who they're reaching out to. But we do get through very, very often. And what's the part that's above the water, if we're thinking of this as an iceberg, is that big print, like the big print that, Jim, you have in your office that I sent to you. The part that's below the waterline is all of the best practices and the scripts and the process and the follow-up items and so forth that are also going on, because we're not just sending something to the CEO. What we're doing first, actually, is involving the executive assistant, and they're critical. I think, actually, executive assistants probably, you could make an argument that they run the companies, because they've got such a sensitive, and they operate a very sensitive role or position, but they've got such an important role in that they're a gatekeeper to the CEO of the company. But they're also, I think they're always tasked with finding the things, the little golden nuggets, the little diamonds in the rough that the CEO wouldn't have known about otherwise, unless the executive assistant was on the lookout for them. Because I find that they will often, when we call them, and we call the executive assistant first just to let them know that this package is on its way, and when we explain what the package is and what we're doing, they usually turn into terrific allies in the whole process. So there's this whole process going on below the waterline that isn't seen. I mean, it just isn't apparent when suddenly there's this big cartoon print that shows up with a well crafted message to the CEO about why he or she needs to meet with the person who's sending it.
And is that $2,500 a month or for the whole 6 months?
It's $2,500 per month.
Per month, okay.
Yeah.
And does that include the creative? So do you send one cartoon a month, or is it one cartoon is the creative, and then you're sending it out for 6 months, 10 key contacts a month, or is it several different cartoons?
Well, it's a campaign. So in a very strict sense, it's a campaign. And so we're going to start, and it does involve or include creative, by the way, but we're going to start with probably an A-B split. We're going to see if maybe either one cartoon or another is going to pull stronger results, or perhaps maybe one copy approach versus another will pull stronger results. Maybe we're going to try going to the CEO, and then in one group, in one test group or panel, and then another test panel, we're going to the chief procurement officer. We don't really know. We've got to try each. I mean, every campaign, just like every campaign in every other discipline requires testing. And so that's what we're doing. But so it wouldn't make sense for me to come up with new cartoons every month, because for one thing, we're testing and we're trying to hone in on, well, what's the most effective approach for this client? And the second thing is, once we have that, then we want to roll it out. We'll test against the rollout, but we want to roll that winning combination of cartoon and copy approach and maybe target within the company. We want to start rolling that out. Once we know that that's the most effective method for selling for that particular client, that's what we're going to focus on, and we'll test other things against it.
How long does it take to get a program like this going?
A couple of weeks.
That's it, just a couple of weeks.
Yep.
And then who does the call, the initial calling, and then the salespeople do the follow-up? So who does the initial calling to say, look out for this, it's coming in, and then the salesman does the follow-up? How does that work?
I want to have the sales rep do that, because then the sales rep is already establishing contact and a relationship with the executive assistant, which is really critical. Here's how it usually goes. There's one cartoon that we tend to use a lot in these campaigns. It shows some people milling around in a gallery, and they're looking at various pieces on the wall. But there's two business people in the foreground, and they're looking at this. Well, it's a painting, I guess, on the wall, but it's a painting of a sales chart with the trend going up in a very positive direction. And the caption, if I was sending it to you, Jim, the caption would read, that would look really good on Jim Obermeyer's wall, or in Jim Obermeyer's office, either way. Now, the great thing about that cartoon is that it's already been in the Wall Street Journal, so we're using a slightly different version of it. It's one of mine, and, of course, it wasn't personalized in the journal, so the caption's a little bit different as well. But essentially, it's a cartoon that was in the Wall Street Journal, so when the caller, whether it's the sales rep, or when I use the program myself constantly. So when I'm calling, I'm saying, I'm calling to let you know that I'm sending a print of a cartoon that was in the Wall Street Journal, and it's about your boss.
Whoa.
Assistants usually get pretty excited, and I'll say, wait a minute. It's a cartoon that was in the Wall Street Journal, not sometimes I need to explain that. So, but anyway, they get pretty excited about that. And then I explain to them, well, you know, things being the way they are these days, I don't want this just to show up as a mystery package. It's a surprise for your boss, but I don't want you to be surprised. So I'm just letting you know what this is. And in fact, if you want, I'll follow up with an email just to confirm what we're talking about. And as the time comes closer to when it's to be delivered, I'll let you know about that too. If there's a tracking number involved, I'll give you that. So they become part of that's. I mean, they just become part of the task of getting this big board in the CEO's hands, and they're happy to take on that role.
So when you start off, is this a contractual agreement? Do you charge them a setup fee, a startup fee? They just pay $2,500 a month as the things are mailed, or how does it get handled?
It's $2,500 a month, and the only thing it doesn't cover is delivery. But what we do is we have these pieces delivered. What we're using is indoor signage technology. So we're, in fact, I often use Fast Signs or Signs by Now or Signorama to produce these. And we want to find a shop that's as close to the end destination as possible so that we don't have to send it through FedEx, or we don't have to package it in anything. We don't risk it being damaged, or not so much anyway. So it gets produced maybe a couple of miles away from where it's going, each one. And then they're delivered by courier, by hand. And they're delivered out in the open. There's no wrapping or there's no cardboard around it, nothing protective, because it's a postcard. Essentially, it's a postcard. So we want people to be able to see this thing as it's coming through the office even. So the only thing it doesn't cover is that hand delivery.
Very, very interesting. It's now tell me about the rest of your business. And I know you've got subscription programs and for people to pick humor and what have you. But what about if you didn't want the contact program, what else does CartoonLink offer?
Sure. Well, we apply cartoons to a couple of different marketing disciplines. And again, we're doing it to apply the magic of cartoons. And I take no credit for that. It's just what cartoons do and how people react to cartoons. In fact, I don't know if you knew this, but when magazines and newspapers run editorial readership surveys, what they usually find is that cartoons are almost always the best read and remembered part. And in the case of newspapers, the ones that are still around, they're actually better read than the front page, which is kind of amazing, I think. So, but we do offer, we do apply them in other disciplines. So one of those is email. And in email, we find that when we include, or when a marketer includes our email device, so it's the personalized cartoon and it may have some links to allow the user to invoke some special functionalities like printing out a calendar with that month's cartoon or forwarding the cartoon, therefore the email, that sort of thing. So when we include, or when marketers include that cartoon device in their email campaigns, what they tend to see is a doubling of open rates. And then they see that those open rates sustain over time. That's such a powerful effect that we're actually about to launch as a new solutions provider to Constant Contact. They've taken us in because of what it does. It doubles open rates. That's important. If you're going to send email out, if you're going to put that kind of, or the kind of effort and investment marketers are generally doing, then it makes a lot of sense to add a little bit more to it to make sure that more people are opening it and more eyeballs are on it. So that's one. And another one is a postcard program, and both of these programs, actually all of our programs are monthly continuity programs. So in the postcard program, we're mailing postcards. And these postcards have on one side a personalized cartoon about each recipient, and on the other side, the messaging and the branding and the name and address file, postage, and so on. You know, they do what Paul just described. I've never heard Paul's story about the people mailing. He's had it around for 30 years. That's just amazing. But typically when a postcard comes in, if it comes to someone at their home, they'll end up saving these things to their refrigerator doors. And if the postcard also doubles as a coupon, then the coupon and the offer lives.
Well, because has your name on it. That, you know, how often do you get something personalized? How cool to have a cartoon with your name on it, like Jim said, that's why I kept this thing for 30 years.
Yeah, well, but there's a really important point here, which is that the cartoon really has to be well targeted. So
yeah.
The cartoon, and think about how well targeted it was for you and Skip.
Yeah, right. They sent it to
your press agents.
We're press agents.
You're Hollywood press agents. So,
right.
But you know, it has to say something. It has to express something that's true about the recipient. And one of the things that I have to train my new clients out of constantly is because they always want to make the cartoon be about them, about their offer or about their brand. They want to stick their logo somewhere in the cartoon, and that kills it. What you want it to be is just about the recipient and just about something that they believe about themselves and that they find important in their lives. I mean, a good example, an example I use in Drawing Attention, my book Drawing Attention, is if Miller Beer sent, if they sent you a poster that said, it's Miller time, Paul, you'd probably throw it away because it although it has your name in it, it has nothing to do with you. It's about them.
That's true.
They might as well have not sent it.
Yeah.
But, you know, in contrast, we did a test a long time ago for Outdoor Life magazine. And, you know, the cartoon that we used a couple. We did a couple of tests. But the one that really, really just was a breakaway success was one that had two fishermen on a dock. One's holding this enormous bass in his arms, and the other one's holding his rod and reel. So the guy holding his tackle is saying, that looks like the one that Jim Obermeyer threw back. And that's all it was. So it wasn't about subscribing. It wasn't about Outdoor Life. It didn't mention Outdoor Life. There wasn't a copy of Outdoor Life sitting on the dock or any of those cues to inject their brand into it. It was just about the recipient, and it was just about how they, and it really, really rang true with them, about how they felt about themselves as fishermen, about how good they felt they were. Just they're the ones who throw those big ones back.
I want you to come up one for radio here, or for something like that you know has something to do with people listening to something.
We'll do it.
Okay. Yeah.
I wish I had one in mind right now. That would have been perfect for
you. Yeah. Right. And then we'll put that on our OC Talk Radio site, and I'll put it in my studio here. When everybody comes in, they'll say, "Where did you get that?" And I'll say, "Hey, this is it."
That'd be cool.
We're very privileged.
I'm really curious.
We're very privileged at SLMA to have, as our resident humorist, somebody who's been published in the Wall Street Journal and so many different magazines and run so many different campaigns, and he provides humor for us every month. And we've been talking to Stu Hynek, not Skip, but Stu Hynek from Cartoon Link. Now, Stu, how can someone reach you?
Well, you know, they can go to my site, which is cartoonlink.com. They can call me if it's okay to give my number out.
Sure. Yeah, that's what we're here for.
Okay, well, that's 206-286-8668. But, you know, an easier way to do it would be just to go to the SLMA site because there are links to me. There's a link to me in the masthead at the bottom of the page. You can use that to email me, or you can find me in various places all over the SLMA.
And that website is THESLMA, theslma.com.
Plus, there's a great set of sample marketing and sales cartoons that are there. You're getting quite a following from people. So,
what kind of response have you had on the SLMA? I mean, do you find people not only commenting on, but do they pass them around?
Well, I hear they do. I haven't seen them used in presentations yet, but I know they are being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would think, there you go. Oh, I hadn't thought about that in PowerPoint presentations. Do you use that as a humorous break in your otherwise list of statistical slides here?
Wonderful. Well, you know, Jim, you said that it's great to have a Wall Street Journal cartoonist involved in the SLMA, and I wanted to say that it's great for me to be involved with the SLMA. I really like what the mission of the association is. You know, the companies that are involved are driving changes in the way that marketing and sales happens. I mean, everything is changing, and it's the companies that are involved with the SLMA that are changing it. So it's a very exciting place to be, and I'm just really thrilled to be part of it.
And what a creative way to generate sales leads. What a creative way to start a conversation. What a creative way to cut through the clutter than using a cartoon.
Well, this month's cartoon is interesting. There's a bunch of people sitting around a conference table, and the guy standing at the end of the table says, anyone have any ideas how we can automate the CEO's job next? And I'm sure that'll get a rise out of somebody.
Exactly.
And
we've got to be sending that one to the CEOs.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was sponsored by the Benelli Group. And last month's cartoon was sponsored by Optify. So the agency people, agency software people. So
what a great idea, because then that gets supposedly, theoretically, probably sent. You see this, people copy. Is there a way to go on the SLMA site? I haven't seen it recently. And take that and send it to other people. You should have
You can copy the cartoons, and we just ask them that they keep the attribution in place. But they can copy the cartoons, and I know people have used it in their presentations and speeches and what have you. So it's quite interesting. So we've had a nice afternoon here.
Well, my attention. And not that you don't always, but sometimes I wander and do other things here. But this one I was fascinated with and focused on.
Yeah, just you and the studio cat there. hey, Paul, you've got to wear some long pants to the studio.
I put my legs up on the chair to sit back, and he practically howled when he saw my little bony knees here, right?
Yeah.
My hairy legs.
Well, Stu, thank you very much for being on this week. And Stu Hynek, Cartoon Link, and you can go to his website.
Cartoonlink.com.
Cartoonlink. So it's LINKS?
No, singular. Cartoonlink.com.
Okay. Like Earthlink. Cartoonlink. And thank you very much for being on board today.
Thank you so much for the opportunity to share an afternoon with you and your listeners. I'm really, really thrilled to have been here.
Fascinating.
I've been watching your cartoons roll across my screen here from the association site, and they're just... There's this one. What an amazing movie. I thought that was so touching when they converted every one of those sales leads. And they were leaving the movie theater. So you just had some great ones. Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot, Stu.
All right. Any final thoughts? Any final words? I think that's one of the more interesting, creative ways to get people's attention in a world where you would think everything's been tried. sending a cartoon right to the CEO or right to the decision maker that he can that he'll take and is memorable and he'll put in his wall and he'll pass it to others and use it in their presentations. Wow, what a unique idea.
Yeah, cartoonly. Stu Heineck, thank you very much, Paul. See you next week.
Okay, all right. You're gonna have a big standard to live up to for, when you get this kind of quality here.
Yeah.
Well, you know it. You've been listening to the SLMA Radio Hour, brought to you by our worldwide membership of sales lead management experts. If it has to do with sales lead generation or sales lead management, you know, it probably starts here with the Sales Lead Management Association Radio Hour. For more information on our organization or to sign up for your free membership, or just get some of those free copies of those cartoons, just visit our website at theslma.com. That's theslma.com. Or call us at 714-637-6989. This show is produced in part by James Obermeyer, Executive Director of the SLMA. And yours truly, Paul Roberts, on behalf of the OC Talk Radio Network.